Well, hey guys, Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. And I wanted to take just a minute before we get to Resurrection Sunday to share a resurrection message with you. I've decided to use Zoom because that's what we've been using lately. You ought to be familiar with this at this point. None of you are in a meeting with me right now like you have been the past few days. But I thought it might work. I love this background picture, don't you? Some of you have already seen it. Of course, the point is the tomb is empty. Jesus is risen from the dead, and that's what we're celebrating. But it looks like this is going to be a Resurrection Sunday unlike any I have ever experienced in my 74 years of life. I cannot remember a Resurrection Sunday when I didn't get together with other Christian believers and sing songs celebrating Jesus' resurrection from the dead, usually at the top of my voice. If you get me in a big crowd of people who are all singing praise to the Lord, I'm usually singing at the top of my voice. I'm giving it all I've got. But on Resurrection Sunday especially, worshiping Jesus with other believers has always been very powerful for me. But it's going to be different this Sunday. Not the same. But that does not change the truth. The truth is this. Jesus really did rise from the dead. And I'm not talking metaphorically here. I don't mean in some spiritual sense he rose from the dead, some such nonsense. I mean literally, historically, physically, he rose from the dead. And by the way, God knew that many people would struggle with doubts about that. So he seemed fit to leave us with a lot of evidence for Jesus' resurrection, for anybody that's willing to look at it. It's normal to have doubts. Of course, it's normal to have doubts because normally dead men don't come back to life, right? I mean, who's seen that before? But that's why God left all the evidence. It really did happen. We don't have time to get into it right now, but I would love to get into it with you in more detail. We do that in Veritas. I'd love to tell you more. Just ask me about it. But I'd like to remind you again that in the midst of this COVID-19 crisis, just as in the time of many crises in the past, I mean, think about it. We're kind of in crisis mode right now, but God's kids have been there pretty often. God's kids have often had to endure horrific wars where thousands of Christians and non-Christians alike were being killed all around them. Sometimes awful famines in places in the world with Christians and non-Christians starving to death. Sometimes terrifying times of pestilence and plagues and other pandemics. With Christians and non-Christians dying all around? This kind of thing may be kind of new and shocking to some of us, but it's not new to God's people, not really. It's just part of the fallen world we live in. In Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us that the entire creation is groaning under the effects of human sin that began with our common ancestor Adam and has continued all down through the human race in all of us. And this COVID-19 virus is part of that groaning. Death is a result of the fall of sin. And whether we die one by one without getting too much attention, as by the way, most of my family has died. I'm getting older now. My mom, my dad, my sister, all my aunts, all my uncles, my grandparents, even one of our sons, they've all died one at a time. Or whether it comes to many people at once, like the 9/11 attacks, on the trade towers, or maybe some places right now that are getting hit really hard with this COVID-19 virus. Sometimes many people die at the same time. But death is just a part of this fallen world we live in, guys. No way around it. It's an unspeakable horror. It's a disaster. And I'm talking about whether we die one by one or in crowds of thousands of people, it's still a terrifying enemy. Or it was, I guess we should say was, because Jesus came and he beat it. He conquered it. He destroyed it. He yielded himself to it on the cross. Remember, he died for our sins. He gave himself up to death. But then on the third day, he rose again. And that, guys, is our hope. It's our only hope. Listen, don't miss this. It's not in medical research. It's not in elected officials or government intervention of some kind. It's not in wealthy benefactors. It's not in our cleverness or our intelligence or our creativity. It's in Jesus who rose from the dead. Because for every one of us, rich or poor, powerful or weak, our time will come. We may escape this coronavirus. I hope you do. I hope I do. But we will not escape physical death. No matter how much medical research discovers, no matter how much the government tries to intervene and help, no matter how many wealthy benefactors we have, I don't have any, by the way, no matter how much cleverness we've got or intelligence or creativity, one out of every one of us is going to die. Because of Jesus, death can't hurt us. Death is a defeated enemy. Oh, yes, it's coming, but it's already been beaten. Don't forget that. And because Jesus conquered it, and because Jesus lives in us, the Bible says we have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead working right now in us. So we don't need to be afraid. That's what Paul said in his prayer for the Ephesians. You may remember this. He prayed this prayer for the Ephesians. It's written in the first chapter of Ephesians. He said, I want the eyes of your hearts to be enlightened so that you may know what's the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, listen, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in us. Now I want us to take just a few minutes before we stop this to read the account one more time. This is Luke's account. Of course, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it's in the very last chapter of his gospel. Pick it up at verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how I told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. They didn't believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. He went home marveling at what had happened. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what's this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death, crucified him. But we hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they didn't find his body, they came back, saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they didn't see. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." They were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it's I myself. Touch me and see. Spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. You see that I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. And that's the way Luke closes his gospel. So listen, guys. Whatever's going on around you, let your hope and your joy and your peace soar to the heavens, okay? Because Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed.